Ringgit and Cents on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're now listening to Ringgit and Cents, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisan. Now, with all the volatility in the markets and talk of opportunities and value traps, today on Ringgit and Cents, we're going to take a step back and take a look at some investing basics and maybe some investing principles. And to help me explore this, I have on the line with me Jack Cousy, Director and Responsible Manager of Australian Financial Services Licensee VFS Group. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on. I'm really excited and good to be on again.
So Jack, before we start, could you tell us a little bit about yourself? Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're neither a certified financial planner or a chartered financial analyst. So really what we're going to be hearing is your personal experience as an investor and fund manager.
So primarily I'm a fund manager in Australia, where I manage people's money on a day-to-day basis. And I've also been a full-time investor for now, 15 or 16 years. So I started off in value investing. That's where I began my investing journey with the principles of Graham and obviously Buffett over that time. And then I've since developed, you know, some new strategies and some way of looking at the markets and some investing principles. But ideally, I'm an investor. That's what I call myself first. I don't like to be boxed into anything in particular at all these times. But, you know, as you go along as investing, you will continue to build on your skill set, your outlay, how you think about the world, how you think about markets. So it's something that I'm constantly working on. You can never be smarter than the market, I always say to people. No one can ever predict exactly what the market will do. Otherwise, we'd all be billionaires. And if we were all billionaires, everyone would have money, so no one would care about money. So it wouldn't mean as much as it does. So I always consider myself a student of the market and always constantly trying to learn and get better at what I do going forward.
All right. So, Jack, we mentioned value investing. Before we go into your own principles and stuff, what was it about value investing or the principles from Graham and Buffett that attracted you to investing?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I was attracted to investing because investing was about making money. And, you know, you're as a bright-eyed, you know, young person and you want to take on the world and introduce it. So I first invested in the stock market when I was 17 years old. I got some money off my father at the time. And I had to invest in my mother's name because you've got to be 18. And from there, I made some very, very silly decisions on how I invested that money and lost all the money that my father had given me. And from there, I took it on that point of education and I came across the principles of Graham and value investing. And that's where I fell in love with the market. And what that gave me was a structure. It gave me a rules and guidelines and a set. And I think that's very important when we look at investing in the market, in any investing. You know, you need some type of, firstly, you have to have some goals around what you want to do with your investments or how you want to shape them. And you also need some rules and some basic principles that you can establish more primarily for risk, obviously, but also to limit all the noise in markets. I mean, there are so many different markets that we have. There are so many different stocks. There are so many different sectors. There are global markets now that are with the access of technology. So as an investor, you have infinite choice in what you can invest in infinite markets across the globe. How does one limit that noise? Because, you know, while we have infinite choices, you have a finite amount of money, regardless of who you are. So those choices are very important. And it's rules and principles that give that limit my noise or limit my choice, which then allow me, in my opinion, to make better choices going forward. So, you know, things like the principles you learn in value investing don't go away. You know, margin of safety, trying to buy things at a deep discount. You know, that's buy low, sell high, know someone's self. Understand that investments are a long-term perspective, and that's one of the greatest things I took out of those early days is that the stock market should be a long-term play. You know, there's a famous quote in markets where you say stock market should be like watching paint on a wall dry. It's not meant to be exciting. And sometimes we're attracted by that excitement. But in my opinion, being in the game for so long, the best money is made over the long term. And the best money is boring money. So they're really the things that really established my principles and my base and then have allowed me to evolve over time going forward because markets change.
Yeah, personally, I'd completely agree with you in the long-term play there. And as we get into some of your own principles here, I just want to roll back to something you said earlier about goals. I think this cannot be understated, because if you go into the market without goals, you are subject to all the noise that there is out there, because you're not sure whether to buy, sell, or hold. You have no reference point or anchor if you have no goals. Would you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, I love investing quotes. There's a famous quote that says, a traveler without a destination, something about, you know, a traveler without a destination is like an investor without goals. You know, what are you investing for? Are you looking for income? You know, what type of liquidity are you looking for? You know, what is your outlook on markets? You know, how comfortable are you with risk? You know, what type of risk do you need to have? And they don't have to be, you know, really detailed and complex algorithms. It's just a basic set of principles you need to realize around your personal situation, and then use that to start to build your portfolio going forward. So I agree with you 100% on that, Rajan.
So Jack, let's talk about your investing principles, I guess, or some of the basics. What have you carried with you from value investing, and what are some of the most important tools or measures in your mind?
Yeah, so as an investor, you evolve over time. I think we've established that. And value will always be my base. Now in the last 4 to 5 years, maybe a little bit longer, I've adopted some principles around a top-down approach or a thematic way of investing. So I believe, and you can see that in front of you, that there are certain things that are occurring across the globe. There are structural plays that are happening across the global economy, things that are almost irreversible. Things that are happening regardless of, you know, what happens on a day-to-day basis with GDP or economic growth or interest rates. For example, you know, I know that, you know, we are clustering together in mega cities, right? So where we're actually sitting on top of each other rather than dispersing. I know that money is moving from the West to the East, that wealth is moving, you know, it might be slowly, but it has been moving for the last, you know, 5 or 10 years, even more. I know that robots are going to take an increased amount of work in terms of industrial manufacturing. I know that data is the most important resource in the world. I also know that we don't measure things on physical assets now. We measure them on intangible assets. I know the electric vehicle is going to happen regardless. You know, whether it happens in the next 3, 5, or 10 years, it's going to happen. Automation is going to occur. That's how I start looking, and that's how I attempt to limit the noise, in that there are things that are occurring no matter what will occur, and then start to narrow that down into certain sectors or regions of the world where I want to be invested in. And the simple approach to that, Roshani, is I want to be where the party is. And it's that philosophy of that quote you hear about, you know, all tides lead to rising boats. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I'm in growth sectors, if I'm in things that are occurring regardless, and nothing is always concrete, I give myself the best chance of making money. It's kind of like I want to be on the best street. Even if I've got the worst house, I'm on the best street rather than being the best house on the worst street. Right. Make sense. So that thematic approach is something that is continued to evolve for me and continue to now form the basis of where I go, and then use the principles for stock investing that I learned as a value investor.
Right. And basically, if you're just simply by being on the best street, that already gives you a little bit of a premium. Jack, does value investing still have a place in today's world? I mean, was it a week or 2 weeks ago, Warren Buffett's annual event in Omaha, and he did no buying in the last quarter, and in fact, sold all his airlines. He holds a lot of cash. He doesn't seem to see any value despite maybe some 30% discounts on some stocks out there. Do you think value investing still has a place in the world right now?
Yeah, I mean, he is. I mean, let's just talk about Warren for a moment. I mean, he has the longest time frame of any investor and probably more access to cash than any other association around the world. I mean, Berkshire Hathaway is sitting on a pile of cash and has been for a long time. Look, you know, Warren's been in the market for a long time. If you talk about Warren, he always talks about, you know, markets go up over time and I want to be. In terms of your broader place, is value investing still relevant? There's no doubt that value investing has underperformed compared to other strategies over the last 10 or 15 years. But let's just go back to the essential goals and principles. And I liken value investing like my first love, Roshan, right? You learn things. you build yourself as a human being, as an adult, and you take those principles into the next relationship, if that makes sense. And I'm happily married with two kids right now. And that's where value investing to me, it was my first love. It built the base for me. And those bases still exist. You know, you want companies with strong moats. You know, you want companies with good leadership. You want companies in sectors that revenue is driving. Those things will never change. I think what's changed about modern value investing is the P and the E. You know, is the P and the E that relevant to what we're in this kind of market? Because we're dealing in a world of low interest rates. We're dealing in a world of, you know, high tech. Tech is everything. We've spoken about this on previous shows. You're dealing in a world of VC funding where there's, you know, limitless amount of money, and where companies and really share prices are not driven by profit, but rather about network effects. So it's changed, but basic principles of good companies don't change over time. It's just the bells and whistles around that that is changing. And that's what I take out of value investing. Now, you obviously also want to listen to Warren whenever he speaks, but Warren bought oil companies just before the crisis. He didn't sell any of those. You know, they haven't been great investments. So it's the market is changing constantly, and we change with it. And, you know, Warren obviously has an approach to the market that's worked very well. But we all make mistakes, and we all have investments that we regret sometimes, including Berkshire Hathaway.
Yeah, and just for reference, the P&E that Jack was talking about earlier was price and earnings. And right now we're going into a few messages, and when we come back, we'll take a look at some of the metrics that Jack takes a look at and other things he pays attention to when he looks at companies before he invests. I'm speaking to Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy for VFS Group, and this is Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, thank you for staying with us here on Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Jack Cousy, Director and Responsible Manager of Australian Financial Services Licensee, VFS Group, and we're talking about some investing basics as well as the new era of value investing, or at least how value investing has had to change and adapt. Jack, let's talk about some of the things that you look at companies specifically. So you've carried over some of the teachings of value investing, things like the fundamentals, looking at management, looking at whether these companies have moats, which is basically, can other companies copy what they're doing? So that's the value of the business. Are there any metrics that you look at before you buy into a stock or sell out a stock?
Yeah, look, I go back to what I said. I want to be in areas of growth, and I liken it to, the question is, how do you start? You know, we talked about limiting the noise and limiting the choice, and that's my first way of looking at markets. What can I eliminate, right? Now, what can I remove from the picture? And I liken it to, I always start, just to put it, we go back to, you know, maybe finding a partner, right? I hate to talk about relationships. I don't know why I'm sticking on it. But if you're looking to find a partner, right, you're looking to find this life partner, and you have a choice of two parties, right? One party has 10 people and the other party has 1,000 people. Where is your best chance of finding your life partner? It's at the party with 1,000 people. So I always want to follow the party. Now, in terms of metrics about looking where the party is, well, if I'm talking about regions of the world where I want to invest in, then I want to see strong GDP growth out of that country or out of that region. And I liken it to the stock market and GDP. I'll give you a little analogy for everybody listening out there. Think about a man walking his dog across the park. Now, the man and the dog are walking. Now, the man is walking in one general direction, and the dog is bouncing up and down, going backwards and forwards, but generally walking in the same direction as the man leading him. Think about the man as the economy, and think about the dog as the stock market. The GDP or economic growth will tend to lead that stock market going forward, right, and backwards. So I want to see growth, and then from that growth, I want to look at, well, where are there sectors that are growing? Well, what are actually people looking for? You know, and that's where I really start to eliminate some of the choices there are. So, for example, you know, we talked about electric vehicles. We talked about, you know, or we haven't talked about, we know that the world is moving towards renewable energy. We know that we're moving towards more environmentally sound way of producing energy and doing things that are better for the planet. So, you know, I don't touch oil stocks. I don't touch fossil fuel stocks. I don't even look at them. I eliminate them. Now, I may miss some opportunities, but it helps me then drive down to, well, where are the sectors that I want to be into, and then what specific stocks within that sector that I want to be into. So it's that top-down approach of looking at markets, narrowing down that noise, and then driving into areas that are growing. That is where I'm looking at. Now, if you want to talk about specific stocks or the metrics that I'm looking at, you know, one metric that I always like to look at is revenue. You know, and we talked about the P&A just before we went to the break. You can really fudge P&A in earnings. You know, you get a good accountant, you can make earnings look like they are. But revenue for me is one of the best pure plays that I look at in terms of a company. You can't really play around with revenue. You earn X amount in 2019, you brought in X amount in 2018, your future projections are there. So I want to see continued growth. Now, whether that's profitable growth or not is not really a question for me at that point in time in analyzing a company. I want to see growth. I want to see big growth in terms of revenue. Again, going on that philosophy of where is the larger end growth, and then how can I get stock specific going down?
Right. And, you know, one of the things that it seems over the last decade, profitability became uncool for a long part of it, except suddenly last year, I think with the whole WeWork debacle, profitability suddenly seemed to come back in vogue. Now, where do you draw the line when it comes to looking at the profitability of a company, of a high growth company, that is?
Yeah, it's a really good question. There's no cut and dry answer. You want to see a path to profitability. I'll give you an example. So one of my largest holdings and one stock that I'm very, very bullish on is Uber. Right, so I really like where Uber's going. I really like the stock. They have a path to profitability, and this is a perfect example where the market's kind of changed its perspective. So they were bleeding cash for a long time, but they always had a, you know, there's a playbook there. You invest in a war with other companies, you bleed out the rest of the competition, and then you start to see consolidation in those industries, and then you start to see path to profitability. The question we need to ask ourselves as investors is the industry, the good or service they are in, can it be profitable? Not whether is it profitable now, but whether can it be profitable, and what will those margins look like in the future? And that's how we should be forming our basis. You can't remain unprofitable for an extended amount of time. The market has shown us that. But we need to ask ourselves is where is their path to profitability, and what will those margins look like when they get there? And that's when I start to form my basis on a stock or a sector with a 5 to 10 year outlook. It's not cut and dry for every single company, but they're the basic metrics. And is there continued growth? Is this still a fairly new market where there is going to be continued growth, where users will continue to increase? Because that's what we're learning about the world, is it's all about data, users, and frequency. And that's how we're starting to measure these companies going forward.
Yeah, I think was it Satya Nadella of Microsoft, CEO of Microsoft, who said recently that they saw 2 years of digital transformation done in 2 months. Of course, this is in response to the pandemic overall. Jack, when it comes to investing, so a lot of the things that we've talked about, it sounds very subjective, and this obviously is your view on it, and obviously your analysis. What are some things that you would tell your younger self, some of the most important lessons that you wish your younger self knew when you were investing?
Yeah, let me make it simple. Like I am, you know, people ask me, what is your view on the economy, or what is your view on the markets on a day-to-day basis? And I obviously have a view, and, you know, we sit on the morning run and we do that. What I can tell you, and what I could go back and tell my, and it's very simple. It's very simple stuff, because I find simplest is the best. What I do know about financial markets and stock markets is they go up over time. That's just what they do. If you look at every single major index around the world, with maybe the exception of Japan, they are higher than they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, and 20 years ago. You know, markets tend to rise over time. And I wish someone had told me about the power of compounding when I was 18 or 19. You know, and if the listeners don't know, you know, Albert Einstein calls compounding interest the eighth wonder of the world. He who learns it earns it. He who doesn't pays for it. You know, that ability to continually accumulate assets over time is one of the best things I found in markets. And we're talking about big companies, which again goes back to those principles you learn in value. They tend to last the test of time, and we tend to continue to get up growth. And when you look this is where I talk about boring pain. Think about stock market, like property investing. It's different. It's not as liquid, but you don't buy a property and then sell it a year or two later unless you're flipping it. You tend to buy property and you hold on to these assets because they tend to go up in time. I feel like the market is the same way. Now, obviously, there are, you know, companies that go bust, but generally what we see out of markets is they grow, and, you know, big brand names tend to last the test of time. And that would be something I would be telling my 18 or 19-year-old self. Every penny you put in now has that power of compounding over time, and it tends to grow as you grow over time. And it's that long-term approach to market. So keep it simple. You know, don't be afraid. We've talked about this, you and I personally. Don't be afraid to not buy nice broad-based ETFs. You know, you talk about the S&P 500. You know, if you would invest in the S&P 500 for the last 90 years, you would average 9.8% a year. That's a great return. So, you know, we often try to pick bottoms in the market. We are often trying to time the market, and that, there is an element of doing so. But I still believe that time in the market is better than anything else. Now, obviously, there are some sectors that you want to avoid, but time in the market is one of the best principles that you can find as an investor.
Now, Jack, as we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to end on?
My favorite quote in investing is by a gentleman called Kevin O'Leary, who's actually a Canadian. And he says, "Money is my military. Each dollar a soldier. I never send my money into battle unprepared and undefended. I send it to conquer and take currency prisoner and bring it back to me." And it's actually on my wall, in my office and in my home office. Your money is like, now you may lose some soldiers. You have to be prepared to lose some soldiers, but your money is your soldier. You're sending them into battle. You don't want to lose them. And that's, you know, the fundamental principle where I start with is, how can I not lose money? And then I work on, well, how can I make money? Because if I can defend my money, then I can use it. And that is the number one principle. Where's my best chance of not losing my money? Okay, well, now where do I want to allocate my soldiers in this battle? And I love that quote.
Jack, that's the perfect way, I think, to end this interview. And on that note, I'd like to thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me. Good luck to everybody. And it's always an honor to come on the show.
I was speaking to Jack Cousy, Director and Responsible Manager of Australian Financial Services Licensee, VFS Group. This was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Karnason for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.